Community Bank and Trust of LaGrange, Georgia is the second bank failure of 2026. And while it may be difficult to nail down what was the precise cause of this bank failure, you'll see from this investigation that based on the businesses this bank was engaged in, the way it was operating, and the history of some of the individuals involved, it's pretty obvious that this bank was a dumpster fire waiting to happen, and nobody should be surprised that it went under. What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and on Friday, May 1st, we got this one from the FDIC. Anchor Bank assumes insured deposits of Community Bank and Trust. Bank failures always happen on a Friday. That's not when the banks actually fail. That's when the FDIC tells us about them. They do that on purpose after the bank closes, so you don't have the visuals and the optics of people banging on the doors demanding their money back. They usually negotiate the sale of the bank in advance so that there's a seamless transition, and we never get that panic that can spread to other banks. Community Bank and Trust West Georgia of LaGrange, Georgia was closed today by the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance, which appointed the Federal Deposit Insurance Commission as the receiver. The FDIC entered into an agreement with Anchor Bank of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, to assume substantially all insured deposits and acquired certain assets of Community Bank and Trust. All right, so let's get the panic out of the way first. If you were a customer at this bank on Monday morning, you will be a customer of Anchor Bank. So nothing changes for you. Your deposits are still there. If you had a loan with the bank, now you owe the money to Anchor where you used to owe the money to Community Bank and Trust. But you'll note in that opening paragraph, they talk about how they took over the insured deposits at this bank. Unlike the bank failures in 2023, where everybody, including the uninsured depositors, got their money back, in this case, the FDIC is not guaranteeing the uninsured depositors. So if you had money in excess of that FDIC $250,000 limit, with some caveats and exceptions, you will not be getting your money back. You're taking a bath on this one. Now, there's some important clues in this announcement from the FDIC that goes to show you just how big of a dumpster fire this bank was. As of December 31st, 2025, Community Bank and Trust of West Georgia reported total assets of $288 million and total deposits of $268 million. So right there, it looks like this bank has a $20 million capital buffer. But since the bank failed, obviously that $20 million in capital, it's gone. Approximately $27 million of the deposits exceeded FDIC insurance limits. This amount is likely to change once the FDIC obtains additional information. Again, those uninsured deposits, that $27 million, that money, it looks like it's gone. The FDIC is not going to make you whole. So you can add $20 million in bank capital plus $27 million in uninsured deposits, but wait, there's more. The FDIC estimates that the failure will cost the deposit insurance fund approximately $97 million. So add up the $20 million in bank capital, the $27 million in uninsured deposits, and still you've got a $97 million hit to the deposit insurance fund. That means somewhere in the ballpark of $144 million went missing at this bank that only had $268 million in deposits. They lost more than half their money. Something went majorly wrong here. We're not talking about a couple of percent losses on U.S. treasuries because interest rates changed like we saw with Silicon Valley Bank in 2023. That much money doesn't go missing that suddenly without somebody doing something majorly illegal. And we get some clues as to what that might have been in this cease and desist letter from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, Georgia, just 2 weeks ago before the bank failed. Now, they're referring to the company as bank shares here. When you read bank shares, understand that's Community Bank and Trust that they're talking about. Whereas bank shares had adopted a growth strategy focused on purchasing and originating United States Department of Agriculture and Small Business Administration loans through certain non-bank subsidiaries requiring significant financial and managerial resources and support from bank shares. So what they're talking about here suggests banking as a service, or BaaS. This is a relatively new phenomenon that we're seeing spreading, especially as fintech grows, where these apps and tech platforms pop up and they offer banking as a service by partnering with another bank. And basically that bank just offers its charter and its license to lend money to some fintech, which always says we're not a bank. And really what's going on is this fintech platform is automatically issuing loans that are underwritten by the bank. And that bank is kind of exporting its due diligence and its credit checks and trusting that this fintech platform has the bank's best interests at heart. And in this case, those non-bank partners were actually subsidiaries of the bank holding corp, so there was some self-dealing going on here. They go on, whereas the recent inspection of bank shares dated January 9th, 2026, conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, or the Reserve Bank, identified deficiencies with respect to the operations of bank shares, including with respect to pursuit of its growth strategy related to board oversight, capital, and compliance with rules related to affiliate transactions. So these guys were having their regular review from the Federal Reserve Bank, part of their compliance. When the Federal Reserve opened up their books, they saw what they were doing with these related party fintech platforms that were rubber stamping these loans and said, As a result of this cease and desist letter, the bank was given 30 days to stop what they were doing, preserve capital, and come up with a repair plan. And I guess the bank just decided we're going to go ahead and die instead. So let's talk about who some of these non-bank affiliated subsidiary self-dealing partners might have been. First, we got this one from January 28th of 2025 in Global Newswire. Community Bank Shares acquires Thomas USAF, or Thomas Financial Group, to completely revolutionize government-guaranteed lending nationwide. And I can't help but notice that whole government-guaranteed lending thing right away. These people were playing fast and loose with loans that were backed by taxpayer money. Community Bank Shares, one of the fastest-growing financial service companies in the nation, announced as the acquisition of Thomas USAF, or Thomas Financial Group, a 30-year industry leader in USDA government-guaranteed commercial lending. This acquisition, coming on the heels of its recent launch of Phoenix Lender Services, put a pin in that name, underscores Community Bankshares' bold strategy to redefine the financial services landscape and expand its leadership in innovative lending solutions for rural and underserved markets across the United States. And I'm learning to fear the word innovation as it applies to anything financial, because in almost every circumstance, all of these innovative lenders are really just covers for subprime lending, and that innovation typically involves lax underwriting standards and or fraud, and it looks like this is no different. Now, the interesting thing about Thomas Financial Group is just 2 weeks after it was acquired by Community Bank and Trust, we got this headline: Thomas Kimsey, president and CEO of Thomas Financial Group, appointed as associate administrator for capital access at the Small Business Administration. Community Bank Shares congratulates Thomas Kimsey, president and CEO of Thomas Financial Group, on his appointment by President Trump to the Small Business Administration as associate administrator for the Office of Capital Access. Thomas Financial Group is a subsidiary of Community Bank Shares. Well, isn't this interesting? Community Bank Shares, about a year and a half ago, they bought this Thomas Financial Group. 2 weeks later, President Trump makes this Thomas Kimsey guy essentially the number three man at the Small Business Administration, which, by the way, is the government agency that this bank specializes in issuing loans that are guaranteed by the Small Business Administration. Now, there is no direct evidence of Thomas Kimsey being directly involved in any fraud or anything, just the fact that one of these affiliate lenders, non-bank entities, called out by the Federal Reserve in a cease and desist letter at this now failed bank, well, it really looks like he's the fox guarding the henhouse at the SBA. Now, I told you to put a pin in that Phoenix Lender Services name because it looks like that has played a big role in the bank's failure. And the name Phoenix Lender Services came about right about the same time that the bank bought Thomas Financial Group. Revolutionizing SBA and USDA lending, industry titans unite to launch Phoenix Lender Services. A game-changing collaboration is set to redefine small business lending with a bold new approach. A groundbreaking new player in the lending industry has arrived. Phoenix Lender Services, a subsidiary of Community Bank Shares, the holding company of Community Bank and Trust, and a transformative force in Small Business Administration and U.S. Department of Agriculture lending space, with a combined experience of over 700 years and $31 billion financed in their careers, Phoenix is not just a lender service provider, it's a bold reimagination of what's possible for small business across America. And I guess failing within a year, costing the taxpayers over $100 million. Yeah, sure, that's a bold reimagination. It's not necessarily a good thing, but it's certainly bold. And things start to get pretty sketchy as we dig into this Phoenix Lender Service. We got this one in the Financial Brand from June 19th of 2025, how one small bank scales business lending and helps others do the same. And the subject of this article is a guy named Chris Hearn, who was the former CEO of Community Bankshares. Hearn, who had been active in SBA lending for decades, is well known in the industry. He is a GE Capital veteran. Fun fact, GE Capital is what basically destroyed GE as a corporation, who founded, led, and later sold two non-bank SBA lenders, Mercantile Capital Corp., and more recently, Fountainhead Commercial Capital. Hearn joined the privately held Community Bankshares in April of 2024, and he estimates that about 95% of his former Fountainhead team has followed him there, coming on board in phases. And it's that Fountainhead name that I zeroed in on, because Chris Hearn founded Fountainhead, and then he was hired by Community Bankshares, and 95% of the team over at Fountainhead came over with him, which means Fountainhead was basically acqui-hired by this bank. They didn't buy them outright. They just hired the whole freaking company. And Fountainhead was no stranger to controversy in the government-backed lending space. Take this one from the Small Business Administration back in 2022, U.S. Small Business Administration statement on the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis Report concerning fraud in the Paycheck Protection Program. Ah, yes, the PPP, the gift that just keeps on giving, that program that was rife with fraud, people who were paid by the government to preserve jobs that never really existed and took the money and bought luxury cars and yachts and houses. Yup, Fountainhead was all over this one. The Small Business Administration has immediately suspended non-lenders Blue Acorn and Womply, companies that worked with PPP lenders, from working with the SBA in any capacity. The SBA will be investigating appropriate action against their management owners and successor companies. In addition to the actions announced today, SBA launched a full investigation of lenders Benworth, Capital Plus, Celtic Bank, Customers Bank, Cross River Bank, ooh, I did a video about them, Fountainhead, Harvest, and Prestatmos, as well as the individuals and other related entities named in the report. So Fountainhead was one of those PPP lenders that was investigated by the Small Business Administration. Now, we never heard what came out of this investigation. No criminal or corrective action was ever taken against Fountainhead. But 95% of the people at Fountainhead left the company to go work at Community Bank and Trust. And a year later, the bank failed. What are the odds? Now, just 10 months after that press release about Phoenix Lender Services, in October of 2025, we got this one in the Coleman Report, Movers and Shakers, Chris Hearn separates from Phoenix and Community Bankshares. Separates, wink, wink, they canned him. He got fired. We didn't get any reason given for why he was fired, but he's out of there. And just a month after Hearn got canned at Community Bank and Trust, we got this lawsuit where Hearn is suing for wrongful termination, non-payment of wages, and he wants his $2 million investment back. So just to unpack the story so far, we've got this bank failed. A lot of money went missing, especially relative to the size of the bank. Within the last year and a half, this bank has launched this big, innovative, bold growth strategy where they hired Thomas Financial Group. The guy who ran that company was promoted by President Trump to running the Small Business Administration. This other company that they acqui-hired, Fountainhead, was involved in PPP fraud. Whether they actually did the fraud or not remains to be seen. But the guy who was doing it and who was hired, he got canned about a year later, and now he's suing them. So this bank is a mess. Now let's talk about what kind of business the bank was doing. In November of 2025, we got this press release. Now understand, this is only about 10 months after they did all these acquisitions and launched all these innovative programs, and only a few days after they fired Chris Hearn. Phoenix Lender Services facilitates a record $325 million in SBA and USDA loans closing in the first full year of operations. Remember, this bank only had $268 million of deposits, and within just a couple of months, they facilitate $325 million of SBA and USDA loans. This bank was just an assembly line, mass-producing as many government-guaranteed loans as possible, presumably to collect fees along the way. Through its partnership with Community Bank and Trust, a wholly-owned subsidiary of Community Bankshares, Phoenix facilitated the origination and underwriting of $210 million in SBA 7(a) approvals and $156.8 million in funded loans, earning the platform a number 34 national ranking among all SBA lenders as of September 30th. All right, 34th place may not seem that big, but keep in mind, this is one of the smallest banks in the country. They're issuing a lot of loans. In parallel, Phoenix successfully facilitated an additional $168.2 million in USDA-guaranteed financing, advancing high-impact projects spanning rural community development, renewable energy infrastructure, hospitality ventures, logistics operations, and more than a dozen states, fueling job creation and investment in rural underserved markets. These guys were cranking out government-backed loans like it was going out of style. And they were getting increasingly creative with the kinds of loans that they were granting. We also got this one in February of 2025. Now, this was just a couple of days after they acquired Thomas Financial Group and after they acqui-hired the guys who ran Fountainhead and became Phoenix. Community Bank and Trust launches Refund Anticipation Loan for SLFL Tax Credit, providing immediate relief for self-employed workers. So what the heck is going on here? Community Bank and Trust, a trusted financial institution, one of the nation's fastest growing banks committed to serving small business owners and self-employed individuals, announces the launch of its Refund Anticipation Loan for Sick Leave and Family Leave Tax Credits, sometimes known as the Self-Employed Tax Credit, or SETC. This new financial solution allows eligible self-employed individuals to receive their tax refund immediately rather than waiting for the IRS to process their claim. Community Bank and Trust is working with approved processors to facilitate this seamless, risk-free advance, ensuring gig workers, independent contractors, sole proprietors, and other small business owners can access the tax relief they're entitled to without delay. These guys were basically giving loans against tax credits that people hadn't received yet. Oh yeah, go ahead. You can borrow against your tax return that hasn't arrived. What's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, you just had to ask. In September of 2025, we got this one from the IRS. IRS assesses $162 million in penalties over false tax credit claims tied to social media. The Internal Revenue Service is alerting taxpayers about a growing number of fraudulent tax schemes circulating on social media that promote the misuse of credits such as the fuel tax credit and the sick and family leave credit. Hey, that's the same sick and family leave credit that the bank just announced a few months earlier that they were going to let you borrow against your tax return. These scams have led thousands of taxpayers to file inaccurate or frivolous returns, often resulting in the denial of refunds and steep penalties. So we've got a bank that's run by these guys who are big innovators and disruptors, and oh, we're just announcing that you can borrow against your tax refund, especially this sick and family leave credit, and then a few months later the IRS says, yeah, we're rejecting these claims. It's a good thing nobody went out and borrowed against them. Yeah, so those loans are obviously going bad in huge quantities. So what do you do when you're a tiny community bank and you're making big fees, processing all these tiny loans for people, using technology as fast as possible, but you're such a small bank with only $288 million? What do you do if you want to keep issuing the loans? Well, you package that crap up into a bond and you sell it to unsuspecting investors to get your money back so you can go ahead and issue more loans. Community Bank and Trust announces the closing of second ever SBA 7A multi-lender securitization October 7th of 2025, right around the time they fired Chris Hearn. Community Bank and Trust of West Georgia, a subsidiary of Community Bank Shares, recently announced the successful closing of the SUP 7A Trust 2025 FBC1, a $118.9 million securitization backed by the unguaranteed portions of U.S. Small Business Administration 7A loans. And I just love this part. This is so corrupt and so crooked and so reckless, it's just, I don't know what to do with it. A SUP 7A, SUP stands for Securitization of Unsecured Portion. Now, this is important because these loans are backed by the Small Business Administration, right? The bank underwrites the loans and then the government guarantees them. Ah, but there's a but, the asterisk. The Small Business Administration only guarantees 75% of these loans up to $5 million. And that's on purpose. That is so the banks don't get reckless lending out taxpayer monies. The bank has to have skin in the game. So the bank is supposed to retain 25% of the risk by keeping those loans on their books, or at least a quarter of the value of those loans, the unsecured portion. So what do you do if you're one of these banks and you just want to keep cranking out these loans, collecting fees? Baby, we can't hold that 25%. I know, we'll put it in the soup.
It's not old fish. It's a whole new thing.
They take that 25% unsecured portion, they put it into a bond, and they sell it to investors, probably pension funds and high-yield ETFs that are all out there chasing yield in a low-rate environment. So this allows the bank to get even that small 25% portion of the risk off of their books and onto unsuspecting yield investors. Now they've got that money back, it improves their capital ratio, they can go out and make more loans and collect more fees. And by the way, based on the amount of money that went missing at this bank, and based on the size of it, $140-some-odd million disappearing, $97 million hit to the deposit insurance fund, it's a very good bet that the loans in this bond are going bad at a record pace. Anybody who's holding this is probably getting wiped out right now. And that brings me to this, the Lords of Lending. And I just love this part. Lords of Lending is this instructor slash SBA education platform, and it's run by these three folks. Shane Pearson, who calls himself The Alchemist. Stephanie Castinger-Dunn calls herself The Oracle. And Brian Conglieri, who calls himself The Magistrate. Don't you just love these stupid nicknames? But in their defense, Melonhead was already taken. So why am I focusing in on Lords of Lending? What does Shane, Stephanie, and Brian have to do with Community Bank and Trust in Georgia? Well, when you go to the Community Bank Shares website under their team, well, look over there. There's Stephanie Dunn. She's a vice president at this bank doing small business administration loans. Right next to her, there's Shane Pearson. He's a senior VP also doing SBA loans. Let's scroll down a little bit and see if we can find Brian. Well, what do you know? There's Brian Conglieri. He's also a vice president working on SBA loans. These three vice presidents and senior vice presidents at Community Bank and Trust call themselves the Lords of Lending. They launched their little side hustle. And what do they do at Lords of Lending? Well, it turns out they sell courses and they created an AI platform that helps automate small business loan applications. Isn't that interesting? Where any schmuck, Tom, Dick, or Harry, can go to the Lords of Lending website and master SBA 7A lending in weeks, not years. I mean, how hard could it be?
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
And as you can see here, for just the low, low price of $199, you can sign up for their course and learn how to broker small business administration loans, and you'll get access to Lendari or Lender AI, which is their AI automation tool that takes all the hard work and due diligence out of issuing small business administration loans. And keep in mind, this is all being offered by executives at this bank that is rubber stamping SBA and USDA loans, mass producing them to collect fees, dumping them into securitization. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? And it turns out the Lords of Lending, which is made up of vice presidents of this now failed bank, has a podcast called Lords of Lending. And they have a YouTube channel. Here's this video here. It's got 99 views. 10 of them were me. Let's see what they have to say.
So fast forward to today, you really are just a data point.
But I think anyone not embracing AI and not embracing technology in the finance industry, we're already behind.
But at the same time, I get excited by all this. The technology, the fact that it can make me, instead of being able to do 20, 30 loans a year by myself without having an assistant or anything, to now all of a sudden, with the use of an agent, being able to do 100.
The fintech innovators are filling a gap, but they're also just kind of modern day loan sharks.
I don't get it. Why are they confessing?
They're not confessing.
They're bragging.
So long story short, this bank was a dumpster fire waiting to happen. I can't point to any one specific thing and say, yup, this is what failed the bank. It could have been the fact that they acquired this Thomas Financial Group that was mass producing SBA loans, and the CEO of which was promoted by President Trump to be one of the SBA loan watchdogs, the number three guy at the Small Business Administration. Or it could have been this Phoenix Lender Services Group, run by this guy Chris Hearn, who was fired just a few months after they hired him. He was involved, whether knowingly or unknowingly, in the massive PPP fraud that went around post-COVID through his firm Fountainhead. Maybe it was those loans backed by the tax returns and this family sick leave tax credits, a program that the IRS has told us is rife with fraud, and how they're rejecting those returns that people borrowed against. Maybe that's what failed this bank. Or maybe it was the Lords of Lending and their network of you too can be an SBA loan broker if you pay me $199 for my course with access to my AI tool that takes all the hard work out of small business lending. I mean, how hard could it be? I don't know what failed this bank. One of the above, all of the above. This failure was inevitable. We're probably going to see more like it. And hey, maybe there's a lesson in here about how governments probably shouldn't just throw money at problems and hope people act, you know, ethically and everything. Or yeah, you know, let's just keep printing money and hope for the best. By the way, guys, if you like these videos about the bank failures, I'd point you to this video I did about the failure of the First National Bank in Lindsay. This was a long one, and there's a lot of fraud going on there, but we do have an update. Sean Christian, who I suspected was borrower number two from the shady worded indictment of the bank CEO, he has been indicted by the federal government for his role in the fraud, which means Sean Christian was, in fact, borrower number two, as I suspected in that video. Check that one out, guys. You're not going to want to miss it. And yeah, it involves the Tiger King, somehow. Till next time, live small and dream big.